This is the IC Pixels podcast with David and Anthony Cavins. We're going to talk about design in everyday situations. And welcome back to the IC Pixels podcast. This is Anthony.
This is David.
And we're here to talk about all things design, and this week we don't really have a specific topic, but so we're just going to see how it goes.
Yeah, I wrote down a few things I wanted to talk about, and I'll try and avoid just complaining about clients I'm working with and annoying customers, but I guess I forgot what I was going to say, so... The one thing I was going to mention, I found another podcast that I listened to. I listen to a lot of podcasts here and there. I don't listen to as many as I used to because I used to have a longer commute time and more time alone with my phone, more quality time alone with my phone in dark places. Okay, that just sounds weird. But I found this podcast called Revision Path that I checked out, and it's actually... a guy who interviews graphic designers and web designers and stuff like that. And I listened to a couple of episodes. I actually told you about it. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So if you're a graphic designer, web designer, and interested in like kind of hearing other people's perspectives or stories on how they got into it and things like that, I think it's a good thing to listen to. Also, the other unique thing about it is that he only talks to, I guess, minority people in the graphic design, web development field,
but all graphic designers matter.
Yeah, they all do. So I saw other random thought. I saw a car the other day with a Blue Lives Matter sticker on it, and I wasn't sure how to feel, so I just passed them because I'm fast.
Yeah. There's I work with some people that have alternative political views. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Well, in the same vein of that podcast, I mean, how many episodes did you listen to?
I like 1.5. I have an issue where, like, I think Netflix is a good example, but like on Netflix, someone will tell me like, oh, the show is great, you should watch this or you should listen to this or whatever, be it a podcast, something on Netflix, something on YouTube, whatever. So I'll say, I'm going to do that. I'll add it to my queue or whatever, the, you know, watch later thing or whatever. And then the next time I sit down and I'm like, yeah, I want to watch something, instead of watching that thing that someone told me is great, I'll go to like
something else.
It's like comfort food. Instead of eating the carrots and kale or whatever, I'll just like, let me just grab some chips and I'll watch, like, I forget what I was watching.
Love and Hip Hop.
No, I don't watch that. So I did watch a couple episodes, but I haven't watched it recently, but I'll just watch something that's just whatever's on the beginning first page of YouTube or whatever Netflix tells me to watch that's short and quick. And so there's some stuff on my Netflix queue that's been there for like a year that I just haven't watched, that people are like, yo, this is good, you should check this out, and I didn't. So same thing happened with that Revision Path podcast. I listened to an episode, I was like, this is good, I should listen to more. The next day I came in and I was like, hey, I wonder what's on that new Joe Budden podcast, or I wonder what whatever other podcast is talking about. And then next thing I know, the day's over and I haven't even listened to it. So,
yeah. You see, I have about 4 to 5 podcasts I regularly listen to. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's like, for me, it's like making room for another podcast. That can be a problem sometimes.
Well, it depends on when they drop, too.
Yeah, that too. Because, I mean, some days I have more time than others to listen, depending on where I'm working from. If I'm working from an office or something like that, I'm not listening as much. If I'm just home all the time, then yeah. If I work from home, then yeah, I got all the time in the world to listen. But yeah, nowadays it kind of depends. And so, I don't know. I mean, it's like I'd have to set aside time to make sure I listen to some of those. Because some of the podcasts I listen to, it's like it's almost religiously I listen to them. It's like I'm hitting that every week.
Mm-hmm. Pause.
Yeah. And but some of the others, it's just like, oh, well, you know, sometimes if I run out of other stuff, if these other podcasts I really like, they don't have anything, then let me go listen to this one and see what's up.
Yeah.
But
I'm basically exactly the same.
But I need to make time for, you know, stuff that could be edifying. Oh, that's the word of the week, edifying.
Do you don't listen in your car?
I could, but it's like I'd have to download it, and then I'd have to remember to do that.
So I have an app that I use. It's called Podcast Addict. I think you told me about it, but I use...
No, I think you told me about it.
Okay, well, whatever. I use that app, and so it'll notify me when a new episode drops, and then I just download it to my phone, because I don't like using my data, basically, because my plan is set up and my bank account is set up, so I only pay for the data I use, so if I don't have to use it, I don't use it. And I'm on Wi-Fi all the time at home.
Well, and the thing about listening in the car, I'm never in the car. Well, some days I'm in there longer, but usually my drive is around 30. Hopefully, it's only around 30 minutes. So it's like, when am I going to listen to the rest of it?
The next day. That's what. So what I do, my drive is 15 minutes each way. So I'll cut it on in the morning and then cut it on in the evening. And like 3 days later, I'll finish the podcast. Like if it's an hour, it'll take me a while to finish it. But that's okay, because I can always, if I'm interested in it, if it's something I'm into, then I can always go on SoundCloud and listen at work.
Yeah, they let y'all do that at work?
Yep.
You can't take, all right.
Yeah, we can talk about that some other time. But yeah, so I guess we could talk about what podcasts we do listen to. So in my app right now, I have Fresh Air, the NPR podcast. They drop a lot of episodes because it's basically the radio show. But I listen to that sometimes, not super, super often, honestly.
Well, I guess that counts. I can say that counts because I listen to NPR in the morning when I'm headed in. On Point is on, and that thing, you know.
Well, I think the line between a podcast and a radio show is kind of getting blurred now, because because
all the shows, they just turn it into a podcast.
When the big ones, big people get into it, then it's like, okay, well, you guys were doing this, all the production quality is there, and you were doing this online on TV or on the radio anyway, so all you did was just download the file and upload it to iTunes or whatever. Like, it's not a podcast.
Yeah, especially for NPR, because it's like they have all these different stations, and depending on your region, you can request certain, you know, you'll get different stuff depending on where you are. So it's already in that format. So as it is, it's like you can just go get whatever show you want.
Yeah. Basically. So. Yeah, I used to listen to Wait, Don't Tell Me a lot. I mean, it's like that. I don't know. It's funny. And then you learn a lot of news stuff, because I don't like listening to the news directly because it's depressing and sad. But Wait, Don't Tell Me, I learned what's going on in the news enough to, you know, kind of be somewhat credible in a conversation. And then it's also funny.
They had Jordan Peele on the last episode of that. Because I usually because that comes on Sundays, I think, too. And
it's on their website. You could just, it's like archives, so it's like a podcast.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, what else do I have in here? So I have there's a few podcasts I don't listen to consistently. So some of those are the IC Pixels podcast. Okay, I'm joking. I have that in here because I was testing something. I have.
I listen to our podcast just to make sure.
It sounds right.
Yeah, make sure it's actually entertaining to a certain extent. I mean, I don't know. I want to get better, so, you know.
Yeah. That's a podcast I used to listen to. There was a podcast that used to be called We're Getting Better podcast. It was about photography and stuff. But I think that podcast died, because last time I checked, there were no episodes. And that was like probably early this year it stopped. The other podcast, one of the other ones, I'm not going to name all these, because some of these I'm not proud to tell people I listen to. But the other one is called Hound Tall. It's by this guy named Moshe Kasher. It's basically, it's a group of comedians, and then they get like one scientist or expert on a topic, and they talk about it. And it's like a bunch of jokes, but also you'll learn something in there. So they've had episodes like about Well, the one I'm listening to now is about civilization. Like, is civilization really good for us? Or, you know, were people maybe happier or in some way better off when they were just living in more like hunter-gatherer type of societies? So it's really interesting. You can learn some stuff, and it's funny. Other ones I have on here. So I'm going to go with all the smart-seeming ones first. The other one I have on here is You Are Not So Smart. The You Are Not So Smart one, it's... I don't see the guy's name on here. But anyway, it's... I guess he's a psychologist or something. But anyway, he talks about how your brain is not as smart. You're not as smart as you think you are, and your brain often plays tricks on you in terms of how your mind works and stuff like that. It's really interesting stuff. It's not like a funny podcast or anything like that, but it's like talking about how your mind works. And like one of the last episodes I listened to was talking about how, let's say you're a Blue Lives Matter person, and I try and convince you that Blue Lives Matter is wrong, or Black Lives Matter, or whatever is wrong. And it was talking about how there's a backfire effect where sometimes you try and change someone's mind about something, it can actually make them believe what they think is right even stronger versus weakening their beliefs.
Yeah,
because some people will double down, like, no, the sky is orange, trust me. So it's really interesting. They talked about that and how you can address,
like, no, Obama did hack the president.
He did tap Trump's telephone. So those are kind of my three smart ones. And then I have like Joe Budden podcast because it's entertaining. I have Combat Jack.
You're trying to say that's not an intelligent show?
It not all the time. I'll just be honest. I have Combat Jack.
It's kind of turned into like a barbershop, and I'm okay with
that. Yeah, it's entertaining, and then I have Combat Jack on there. But honestly, Joe Budden I probably listen to almost every week. Combat Jack I don't listen to every episode because nothing's wrong with him. Good quality stuff, but some of the people he's talking to, I really don't care what they have to say. But I like the last episode I heard was with the Key and Peele guy talking about his movie. That was pretty good.
I need to check that out. Yeah. I need to do that. So you have far more intelligent sounding podcasts.
Well, there's some other ones in there that I did not bother to mention, but I don't listen to them super frequently. Cause it comes down to priority. Like if one of the smart, funny ones drops, I'm going to listen to that one before I'll listen to like Combat Jack talk to Young Jeezy. Cause I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a couple in there that I should keep up with them, but it's like I always forget about it, or sometimes I'm just not in the, sometimes it depends on what mood I'm in. But I mean, I think I do need to add some more that are more intelligent or whatever, or more educational, I guess you could say, I could learn something from. I mean, I have Star Talk Radio in there. And somebody else, I actually, one of the first podcasts I sort of listened to was Aisha Tyler's podcast, Girl on Guy.
Yeah, I used to listen to that. That one was good.
I always forget about it because it's like not on SoundCloud, so I have to go search for it. I always forget about it, but that was like one of the first podcasts I was listening to. Then there was Star Talk Radio. I used to listen to that more. I mean, I catch it every once in a while. I have that You're Not As Smart As You Think You Are on there. But I haven't listened to that recently. There's another one called, what is it called? The Uncluttered Life. I thought that was really interesting. It was like this couple and they had advice on like making your life uncluttered in, you know, the various different ways, you know. But they stopped making podcasts for some reason.
They had too much clutter they had to clean up.
I don't know. It was interesting, and I was like, what? I actually like this podcast. Because it was, I don't know, I was learning stuff, and it, you know, I was changing my perspective on how I looked at things, and I don't know. So it was kind of unfortunate that stopped. Then I got Fan Bros. Shout out to them doing work for them. I mean, I follow Combat Jack, but yeah, I don't listen to it every week like I used to. And, you know, I'll name this podcast later. I listen to it all the time. And then, and The Friend Zone. I listen to Friend Zone all the time. Those are probably the main ones that I, like, try to catch every week.
You have a lot in your rotation.
Well, no. Okay, so the last three I named, like Joe Budden's, Friend Zone, and Fan Bros, those are the, like, I listen to those every week. Those are my main rotations, and then like others that I have in there, I catch them in when I do and when I don't, you know. But then I used to listen to NPR a lot more on the radio, because the car used to have the, like, it didn't have a CD player and, you know, whatever. So I just listened to the radio, and I got tired of listening to the same songs from the same people. So I started listening to NPR all the time. But I don't know. I liked a lot of their shows. Like, I mean, I like, what's her name's, Fresh Air. Is that it?
Yeah.
Terry Gross. Yeah. I like her show. I actually, that tends to be on when I leave work, so I can catch it then. So, I mean, that's usually why I don't listen to another podcast. It's like, all right, I'm going to listen to this since I'm out of the car. I mean, I'm in the car now, so.
Well, I think that's something that I think, like, nowadays there's so many options that it's easy to just pick whatever is most convenient. Like, I don't have to plug in my phone and do all this other stuff. So it's easy to pick whatever is most convenient. And so, yeah, I miss out on a lot that I probably should be. And like you were saying, I felt that's why I got some of these or got into some of these podcasts, was because I was like, when I first found Combat Jack, I went back and was trying to listen to some of the older episodes and stuff like that. I was spending a lot of time listening to it. And then I was like, wait a minute, I could be using this time to maybe some of this time. I think it's fine to spend some time entertaining yourself. Nothing's wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to find a way to spend some of that time maybe learning something new or something I could use in my work or in my personal life or whatever. So,
yeah, because you can use that for that too. I mean, the same way, like, and I need to catch up on it, but like, I'm taking classes trying to learn Premiere Pro right now. Which, I mean, okay. And by taking classes, I mean, I started taking a class about a week ago and never finished a class.
That counts.
But I need to do that. But I don't know. I want to spend more time, like, even if it's passively learning things, like listening to a podcast or something like that, or actively. I mean, actively, yeah. I mean, part of the reason why I haven't finished taking the class is because I don't have the free time to sit down and pay attention.
Yeah.
You know? Versus, like, if I'm listening to a podcast, I'm just passively learning about something, and I can be doing something else at the same time. But, like, something like that, I need to, like, pay attention. I mean, I need to do it anyway because it's something I want to do. But I need to just, and I'm also paying for it, so I just need to actually do it and knock it out so I can actually learn something.
You doing it through Linda?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. But, I mean, I don't know. I need to, I mean, it's part of what I'm trying to do this year is trying to, you know, just add more. You gotta keep on learning.
Yeah, add some stuff to that resume.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I plan on going back to school at any point, but doesn't mean I don't want to learn anything else. Yeah. Just gotta keep, you know, do what I can, so.
Yeah, because, well, for me, I did go back to school after college. I went and got a master's degree, but, like, at this point, I don't feel like it's worth it for me to go back to school, because the stuff I would want to learn, I could just teach myself, or I can learn. Like, there's so many informal ways of learning these days that, and also, like, going back and, like, let's say I wanted to get an undergraduate degree in English, at this point, it's not going to help me in any way in terms of career. It'll help me, of course, in learning some past participles or whatever, but I feel like I can learn that informally for much.
Or how to make a venti.
going back. Yeah, if my career was working at Starbucks, right, maybe, but that's not my career. So, yeah. But anyway,
well, I mean, why did you go back? I mean, why did you get the master's? Was it like?
That's a good question. I do enjoy learning, and that's kind of aligns with the point I was going to make before you brought up Starbucks. But for me, and it seems like this applies to a lot of people, I could learn just by, like, watching YouTube videos or through Linda or whatever, because I've signed actually maybe two or three years ago, I got some free classes from this online training place, like how to build mobile apps and how to build responsive websites and stuff like that. I've never opened that email to actually take those classes. I need to do it, but I haven't because it's easy for life to get in the way. But when I went back and got my master's, I felt like that structure and like me paying thousands of dollars every, well, not thousands of dollars every month, but thousands of dollars every few months to stay in the program kind of motivated me to stay on top of doing the work. And in some cases, I feel like that structure helped me, you know? Because if you leave me like, hey, go learn how to do whatever. Oh, but you also will have access to Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, and you'll have random people calling you about doing work while you're trying to learn this. So good luck. It's not going to work. Well, it might. Yeah. I could make it work. I'm not going to say it won't work because I've done it. I have learned stuff. But in some cases, if I want to get it done in a reasonable amount of time, then just give me some structure. Let me go sign up for an in-person class I can take, sit down without distractions, learn it, and then go back and use it.
Yeah.
So I've got the master's because I like learning. I wanted to learn more about like business and stuff like that. And then that's really it. I mean, I just kind of miss the environment of school and learning stuff, that structure. Because, you know, you get in the 9-to-5 grind, so, and you miss it. So.
Yeah. So were you trying to be a businessman or a businessman?
Well, I've been a businessman since I've been doing business on my own in some level of unprofessionality since high school in some level or other. Yeah. So the degree, you know, I wasn't trying to be a businessman. I'm still not trying to be a businessman because I've been offered opportunities to go into like leadership positions and be managers and stuff like that. But that's, I don't mind managing stuff or managing people, but I'm not pushing to be, you know, somebody's COO or CEO or anything like that.
That's something I was been thinking about today. Cause, I mean, I've been watching a show called Abstract. I was telling you about it on Netflix. It's about designers and all in different fields. And I don't know, it's really inspiring for me. I think I suggest watch it if you're into art or design or anything like that.
Yeah, that's our Netflix recommendation for the week is Abstract.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know. I've been really inspired by it. I mean, and some of the people on there and just like what led them into their different careers. And it's something I've been thinking about a lot. I mean, I've thought about it passively, of course, or whatever. But, you know, it's just for me, it's like, to really feel dedicated to a company. I mean, I just have this problem with dedicating myself to, you know, putting my all into a company that I don't really care about what they're doing, you know? Like, I mean, I can, you know, muster up the
gumption.
There we go. Bonus word of the week, gumption. I can muster up the gumption to, on a short term, you know, pump out something good for somebody, you know, a new project or whatever, where I may not be super familiar with what they're doing, or it may not be something I'm passionate about. I mean, a lot of times it's not. It's just a thing. That's their thing, and that's fine. And I can muster up the energy, like, okay, make it as good as possible. But then, you know, that fades.
Yeah.
You know, that fades as the money they paid me fades in my bank account. And, you know, when it's done, it's done, and I'm ready to move on to the next one. And it's very rare. I kind of feel it's rare when I have a client that I actually am like, no, I actually like this, you know? Or like, I don't feel like I've had a job necessarily that was fully like that. I mean, I've had one that was close recently to something I actually cared about, but so on the Abstract thing, one of the guys on there, he's a car designer for Chrysler, like a global designer or whatever. And he was talking about just how that he wrote a letter to them when he was like young, sent them pictures and they gave him suggestions and he felt loyal to them or whatever and just was really able to put all his energy into it. Which is weird. I don't know, because I've never felt like that about any company I've worked at where I just like felt loyal to it. to a certain point. I mean, the loyalty sometimes is to people, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just leave somebody hanging or something like that. I mean, I care about, you know, I wouldn't do that to people or anything like that, but I've never felt that, like, loyalty to a company.
I mean, I think when I first started at a lot of positions, I felt somewhat loyal because I felt like they were being loyal to me on some level. But, yeah, over time, it fades quickly, especially when you see that they're not doing what they could to help you. And that's one thing I've noticed quickly in the area where I work in D.C. These hoes ain't loyal. I mean, companies will hire you. Like, I was talking to somebody who's a program manager or project manager, and basically their whole job is to find the best person to do the job at the cheapest price. So one of the first companies I worked with when I was up here, I started at a pretty low salary for my education and background. But I didn't know because I didn't do a lot of research in terms of, you know, salary ranges and things like that in this area. But it was great compared to what I was making when I moved from here from Alabama. So I was okay. But then they added new responsibilities to my role, and I was doing a whole lot of extra stuff, doing a good job at it too. Yeah. But they weren't willing to just say, okay, he's making $10,000, let's bump him up to $30,000 because now he's doing the job of someone we would have to pay $30,000 to do. They weren't willing to do that.
No.
And if they had, I probably would have been loyal to him, I'll be honest. But I've never really seen a company be very willing to do that because they're like, whoa, we can always just find another guy that's doesn't realize what he's stepping into that would be willing to do this for less. And so when you look at it from that perspective, I understand why companies are run that way. I don't think all companies are run that way. There are some that are super into like retaining talent and that type of stuff. But most of the ones I have worked for here haven't been like that. Or I'll have you'll run into a manager in the company who wants to keep you around and is really working with you, trying to, you know, encourage and grow your career. Yeah. But the rest of the company doesn't necessarily act that same way. And so when that guy leaves, my loyalty left with him. Because I've had that situation where the person I was loyal to left, so I left.
I don't know, it's a weird thing, and it's like you can put all this energy into your job or whatever, and they can pull that out from under you at any moment.
Well, I guess that's why I've really been into doing freelance stuff, and ever since high school, I've pretty much always had at least two jobs. And I still maintain that because I think if I was only doing a 9-to-5 type job and basically dedicating all my time to that, of course I'd be successful. Of course I'd make money and all that other type of stuff. But I'd probably be even more jaded in terms of how companies treat people and stuff like that. And that whole like not being dedicated thing, because I wouldn't have anything else to fall back on. I wouldn't have anything else to really... give me enjoyment or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's important. Even if it's not just for the money, I mean, there's the money aspect of it, of why you have multiple jobs. I mean, for me, that's what it is, but also it's a, I don't know, just for my mental, spiritual health, I need that. I need to be doing something for myself, you know? It's like you put all this energy into your job for somebody else, for a company that's not yours, but who may or may not be, you know, paying you what they should, or, you know, giving, you know, catering to you the way they should, but you're not putting anything into yourself, into your own projects or whatever you're, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, it doesn't even have to be for money. Just, you know, you need to put some time into what you're doing. I mean, my fiance, I've been talking to her about it for a long time, but she's been trying to find like a, you know, like a thing that she can do on the side or whatever. She's tried a couple of different things, but she started a blog now, like a health blog. She's really into health, so she started that, and she's like really, like, she's telling me how like her mentality has just changed how that's what she looks forward to, like working on that. Like, she'll work on it at work or whatever, like always thinking about it, like, okay, what can I do? You know, just the whole mentality of when you start doing your own thing changes, where you don't feel so dependent. Like, yeah, it's freeing. Even if you're not making money off of it, but like, this is your thing. Like, I mean, this other lady I'm working on, she was telling me some things going on in her life, but I'm doing some illustration for her, but she was telling me, like, that's why she really wants to finish this project I'm working on her with, because that's her thing, and she can control that. That's her project. No, she's putting her energy into it. Nobody else is, like, you know, nobody can take that from her. And, like, I think that's important, like, for your own, just, I mean, that's why, you know, that's part of the reason I paint and work on other stuff, other projects I'm working on, just because I want to. I mean, I work on things I need to do for money, but also.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on that whole type of thing, it helps when as I've gone through the portion of life that I've lived, it kind of helps me better. I guess I don't fully understand, like, those people that are all pissed because, you know, Hispanic people took their jobs or because their jobs got shipped to India or whatever. But yeah, we're like, that whole thing, jobs. Like, on one level, I kind of understand, like, okay, it sucks you lost your job. But on the other hand, I don't fully understand because you can never take my job. Why are you? I can never lose my job ever because I always have another one. And another one.
Yeah.
So, like, I've never been that upset, like, about that.
Well, I mean, some people, they get stuck in their ways. I think on some level, some people, they're
just used to the go clock in for 40 years and then retire mentality.
Yeah, they were sold that that's the American dream or whatever. That's what's going to happen. Your retirement's gonna, I mean, I never believed that. So I mean, in some ways, I have trouble empathizing with them because I was like, "Wow, what made you think that was going to work?" Did they tell you
about the eggs in the baskets and not to put them all in one?
Yeah, I mean, I just never have thought, like, "Oh, I'm going to work at this company for the rest of my life." That like, what? No. What are you talking about? That thought never crossed my mind to do that. I mean, I think that's what some people, you know, that's what their parents did or their parents did, and that's what they think, you know, they think they're going to be, you know, coal mining for the next 20 years or something ridiculous like that. You'll die
of some coal mining disease, you know, before that happens.
Exactly. I mean, but, you know, but it's like, that's the mentality, and it's, I mean, but I see what you mean. In some ways, it's like, I feel bad for them, but on, it's like, how did you end up in this situation where you didn't see
it? Well, you might not always see it coming, but on the other hand, you should do what you can to be aware and to have another basket with other eggs in it.
I think I was actually, we were listening to that. I mean, talking about the podcast, but the On Point one that's on NPR, I was listening to that, and it was talking about people that completely changed their career later in life. It's like they went from, you know, doing whatever, you know, working at some kind of steel factory or something like that, to being like a spin class teacher and an Uber driver or something like that, and, or like a dog walker or something like that, and they're like completely happy now.
But I'll say some of that stay in one job for all your life thing is generational, because like now it's so much easier to have a side job with the internet and stuff like that, and Uber.
Yeah,
like when I was in Chicago like a month ago, we were riding with this guy, and he works for the post office, but he also does Uber on the weekends because he has to, I guess for his job, he has to drive like to the other side of town, so he'll turn on his Uber on the way to work, take somebody that way, and then on the way home he'll hit up some Ubers, and then on the weekend, like, everybody's running moving around on the weekend, so he'll just turn it on randomly, and he was like, well, my wife and kids want to go to Disneyland, they've already scheduled it and paid for it, so I was like, I need to make some money.
I mean, it makes sense. That definitely makes it a lot easier. But I mean, I think even back in the day, there were ways to make moves
For the motivated,
a skill
person, there's always a way.
Yeah, there's always an option. Like, you know, I always think, you know, like, you know, try to have a skill that would work in a post-apocalyptic world, you know? I think that's a good thing to... Hey, you never know. I think it's just a good thing to have. Like, how is this, okay, you know,
job,
how is this
going to
work? You know,
have skills, develop skills that will work in a post-apocalyptic world. So...
Yeah. I mean, or just, you know, back in the day, I mean, it was in the internet, but it's like, oh, okay, we'll learn how to make chairs. All right, well, there you go. I mean, just find something, shine shoes, I don't know, find something. There's always, it's all about finding that need and filling it. I mean, the internet made that easier, and it created new needs and stuff like that that everybody wants. So, I mean, it's just like, I mean, I know, I mean, kind of like we talked about the graphic design thing, some of that goes back to, like, access to resources. Some people just don't have the access to the resource, or they just don't have the mindset that they can go out and, you know, change things around. But, like, I don't know, I think teachers, people need to change, because that same episode I was listening to, there were, a guy called in, was talking about how many different times he's changed in his life. He was like, younger people just need to, you know, learn to have more than one skill. I mean, that's just the way life is nowadays. Because also the thing is that people are living longer now. So that's part of the reason why they were talking about it. It's like, you can't just, you know, plan to, you know, just how your life is going to, you know, you have to plan for the fact that you may live
longer.
You
run out of retirement money before you run out of life.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, to change gears a little bit, or a lot, I was going to talk about something that happened to me this week. It sucked, but something worth talking about, I guess. So I'm working with this client, and I needed to design something for them. It's just something I did in Photoshop really quick. It's basically like a case to hold some CDs. I designed it, and when it was time to save it, I saved it as a PSD, obviously, and then they wanted a PDF, so I saved it as a Photoshop PDF, and I saved the file somewhere in a different location, I thought. Sent the customer the file, the PDF, everything was good, they wanted some changes. So when they emailed me back about the changes, I go to open the PSD, and it's only one layer. I hear you laughing, because I guess this has happened to you before. So I'm upset. It's not that bad, because I still have the file. I have what I sent them, so I can look at it and just easily reproduce it again. But it takes me maybe 30, 40 minutes to redo what I did, because I got to go find all the stock photos, set up the fonts, colors. It's like, you know, a layered image with multiple like layers of texture and all this other stuff. So I got to create masks and, you know, just Photoshop stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
So I do that.
I've done that.
And I save it on... No, it's not an external hard drive, but it's a different... So my computer, obviously, multiple hard drives. Save it on one hard drive, and I have another copy on another hard drive. Save it as a PDF, send it to the customer. Customer's fine. Customer emails me back, and the printer needs the PSD for something. So throw the PSD in Dropbox, send them a link. And I'm like, okay, I'm good. Don't have to worry about nothing. Then right before we were supposed to record this podcast, a customer emails me back like, yo, this PSD is flat. Why are you sending me a flat PSD? I just saved this PDF. So obviously, this is evidence that I need to learn how to use Photoshop better.
You need to check that preserve Photoshop.
Yeah, but I don't want the file. The file I send to them, I don't want it to be massive. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you're Dropboxing it.
So it's my bad. My bad completely. You got it. But it's just one of those situations where the job should have taken me maybe 40 minutes to an hour to do the first time. Because the first time I had to figure out my design and all that stuff. So it took me maybe an hour the first time. Second time took me maybe 40 minutes. The third time I had to do it, probably took me maybe 35 minutes to do, but it's so frustrating. I think I'm good now. I'm waiting for the printer to email me back, but I guess the lesson I learned is definitely, you know, double check, because I had the file open.
Do you have a copy with the
I'm
layer
good now.
Saved still?
Because now I'm just like, screw it. I'm not sending you a PDF. I'm sending you a PSD, and you can convert it to whatever you need. And if there's anything in there that I don't want you to mess with, I'll flatten it. Flatten those things, but not everything or whatever. But, yeah, it was a frustrating situation. Kind of my fault. But yeah, interesting. Cause I don't know. I think it's just weird the way Photoshop does that. Cause I feel like if I save it as something else, it should not affect the thing that I saved before. But I don't know. It's, I would have to walk through exactly what I did to find the problem, but it's annoying.
I've had that issue with, like, because you can save, I think it, the thing that's weird, I mean, it's weird, but it's also convenient, I guess, or whatever, because you can save a PSD as a PDF, but keep on editing it, that you'll end up with one file that has the changes and one doesn't, and you don't even realize because it's not like it opens a new file. It's like, okay,
here's your PDF. Yeah, so you continue working on it. You know? I've done that. I've saved it as a PSD, then I save it as a PDF. And I keep working, and then I say, okay, I'm done. Let me save it. I'll save it as a PDF. I'll turn off Photoshop editing capabilities, and now I don't have anything I can use.
Yeah, I've definitely done that before, and I go back. It's like, oh, yeah, I saw that file.
Yeah, why is this file so small?
Like, what is this? Like, where's the file? Or you just can't
find it. It's super annoying.
Oh,
and
my goodness. That is.
So one way I've dealt with it in the past is I would, if it was a minor change someone wanted, I would just like open the PDF in Photoshop, make a new layer, and fix individual letters on a new layer or something like that. But then if they come back and ask for a bigger change, I still got to remake the whole thing.
It's like, can you just change this to blah, blah, blah real quick? Like,
I prefer not to. No. It is one of those things where I think... It's frustrating because I know I can't really build a client for this because it's literally my fault. I mean, I got to do it as fast as possible, and I got to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think that's something important for me to remember is definitely, like, if I'd have done this right, I could have been done a long time ago and been doing something else. And probably also this job would have been more profitable for me. It's still going to be a little bit profitable. Because I'd be overcharging? No. But it could have been so much easier and better. And I think that's, like we talked about, like in our episode where we talked about New Year's resolutions, I've got to make sure that what I'm doing, I'm learning from my mistakes and I'm getting better all the time. Because this has happened to me in the past and it hadn't happened in a while, but I probably should have made sure it didn't happen this time. Because I don't like having the same problem. I want to have new problems.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're evolving that. Yeah, I mean, one of the projects I'm working on now, I've had to, like, learn to be a lot faster. Because they're trying to squeeze every ounce of productivity out of me an hour. So I've had to work a lot faster and learn to... I guess live with some things that weren't perfect, but also at the same time, I don't know, make quick decisions on what will work, you know, make it as good as possible. And then, you know, not sit there and, like, you know, postulate about it.
I guess our last topic I wanted to talk about this week, or did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Not really.
Okay, well, the other thing I was going to talk about is scope creep. I know we've talked about it before, but... we've probably mentioned it in passing at some point. But, so another personal experience from within the last couple of weeks. I had a customer contact me to do some changes on their website. So, I did them. Emailed them back. They had more changes. I was like, I'll do that. And I quoted them before I started. But then... After everything was finished, they started emailing me some other stuff, and I wrote them back, like, look, this is clearly outside the scope of what you asked for.
Oh, that's what you meant. I thought you were talking about, like, a program or something. And I was like, what is scope creep? Okay. No, that makes sense now.
Scope creep, it's just, I can't think of a good joke for that. But anyway.
Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah, so they just keep trying. They've been basically trying to add more stuff into the requirement that's already been completed. And it's just getting annoying. So I wanted to talk about, like, how I generally deal with that or try to address it. And then also what I probably could have done earlier on to prevent it completely. So when it happens, generally what I do is, in this situation, I email the person back, like, look, this is outside of scope. If you want me to give you an estimate on doing this, I can, but this is definitely not in scope. They came back and tried to say that it was in scope, so I'm not going to argue with a customer. So I just basically said, okay, I'll do it, because it was really small. But I said, anything else, everything, you know, I listed out what I had done, and I said, everything else has been completed. If there's anything else, you will need to, you know, discuss payment and pricing for anything additional that you need. And that seemed to work, but I don't like giving up. I don't like basically caving in on the client like that. But it was just like, it was a minor change, but I don't want, because I've worked with this person before and I know they're like this, I don't want to show any signs of weakness, you know what I'm saying? Because you show a sign of weakness, they're like, ha, I got away, now I'm going to do it again and again and again or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that seemed to work, but I've worked with this person before, and typically what I do before I start any work, they'll say, I need this done, and I'll say, okay, here's what I'll do, here's the cost. That usually, I would think, in most situations, should be enough to prevent or, like, make it clear what's what and where things land. But I don't know. I'm not sure what else I could have done. Because the thing is also, like, if we're working on a big project, like I'm designing a whole website for you, I'm doing, like, a, you know, a flyer, poster, something bigger for you, then I'll definitely write up, like, the scope of work and have you sign off on agreements and all this other stuff. If it's just like, hey, I need you to add a page to my WordPress site, put some text on it or whatever, upload this picture, put it on there, it's not going to take me more than maybe 30, 40 minutes to do it. I don't see a point in writing up, you know, all the agreements and stuff like that. Obviously, I could get, I'm sure there's some system I could use to generate those automatically and then wait for you to sign them off, wait for you to pay me, then do the work. But sometimes I'm just like, let me just do this. Get a PayPal invoice out there and keep it moving. So I don't know, going forward, I think with this particular person, because they have, like, they're a habitual line stepper, then I'm just gonna have to, like,
you gotta keep on showing them the line.
Yeah, I gotta keep showing them the line and basically put all that, like, put all that, all those barriers before you get me to do anything. You gotta go through all these barriers to make sure that we both know what we're gonna do and when I'm going to get paid, then I'll do the work. And then you're going to pay me before, more than likely. And then we won't have to deal with this issue anymore, hopefully.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Otherwise, new email, who dis? Yeah. No, I mean, I had someone recently working on I'm still working on a project for them, but it's still a little bit longer term project, and like, to keep on adding stuff, or like they wanted like some major changes to it. First I wanted major changes, but that didn't happen, but they're adding stuff to it. And I'm like, I'm trying to tell them, like, no, you gotta, but they were asking, like, oh, can you do this or whatever? And I'm like, trying to, like, in my head, I think I'm sounding convincing when I'm like, yeah, no, I'll come up with some options for that, and I'll see what I can do. I'm thinking I'm sounding convincing, but apparently I'm not sounding convincing. And then they said, I'll pay you. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Well, I appreciate it when a client realizes that they're changing the scope before I have to tell them. And they bring up money before I have to say something about it. They're like, okay,
yeah, they pick up,
I know this is extra. I will pay whatever it is. Then I'm like, okay, they know how business works. It's fine. I can deal with that. But if you're like kind of like, it's not a big deal, it's just two lines of text, I need you to change. Like, no.
Yeah. I mean, just stuff. Like respect what I do, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just, that's all I want. Just respect what I do, you know? It's fine. Yeah, I mean, even, you know, some things I don't mind doing, because I did a little minor change on the flyer for somebody last week, just some text, and they I had already finished the flyer and they'd already paid me for it. And they asked again, I was like, all right, what do I owe you? And I was like, no, don't worry about it. This is a minor thing, and mm-hmm. but I appreciated them even offering to pay me for, you know, something that very minor.
Yeah. Anytime someone does that, then they get on my good side, and I'm willing to do stuff for them outside of scope to some extent without...
Pause. No, sorry.
I'm willing to do stuff for them out of scope to some extent without, you know, going through a whole process. But if you start to abuse that, which I've been through that situation, then it's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, people just try to, you know, walk outside the law. They, you know, have to make them walk through hoops when they want to keep playing. I really messed up that analogy, whatever I was trying to say right there. I think I mixed three different things there, but you get it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Well, I think that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We hope we've said something interesting or entertaining. In the notes for this show, we'll definitely include a link to things we talk about, like that show Abstract on Netflix. Definitely check that out if you get a chance. Revision Path Podcast. The episode I listened to was interesting. Obviously, I'm going to listen to more. But if you're a designer or interested in that, designer, web developer, web designer, check it out. It's interesting. Interviews and points of view and stuff like that, worth hearing. And whatever you do, if people are trying to scope creep on you, don't let them creep.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and
the internets,
all the internets at Alien Muffin. Word of the week. I forgot what the word of the week was.
We actually dropped a couple of them. I think
you said epitome.
Edify.
I thought it was epitome, but edify.
And the bonus word was gumption.
Yep, gumption is one of those old school words like my grandma would say, "Oh, you ain't got the gumption."
That was It's in one of those Big Crit songs.
Yeah, it's definitely a down south word. Gumption and tarnation.
I don't think tarnation is one.
I don't know.
But
I mean, we're from the south, so we can say anything. People that aren't from there, they wouldn't know whether we're lying or not.
You don't know. You weren't there.
Yeah.
I know we don't sound like we're from the south, but whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. And we'll see you again next time. Peace out.